Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fake Podcast. This is a solo episode. If you haven't been listening for very long or you're not very quick on the pickup, I've been switching between solo episodes and guests. And I actually recorded this episode or attempted to record this episode early in the week, or maybe it was last week. It's all been a blur. But I didn't want to release that one. It was too much of a bummer. Maybe I'll put it in the middle of this one, or I'll put a piece of it. I don't know, just to show you how freaking down and depressed and despondent I was because of my dad. A lot of D words right there. And you know what another D word is? Death, which was on the horizon. It seemed like my dad was in a very steep downward spiral and we couldn't figure out why. I don't want to repeat myself because was falling and he was dizzy and slurred speech and weak and legs weak and numb hands and double vision and maybe hallucinations and memory loss, and we didn't know if it was Alzheimer's or multiple sclerosis or a stroke or what, and they were finding nothing on the CAT scans and the MRIs. And it was scaring the shit out of me, and I was distracted. I could barely work. I could barely focus on my work. And I was starting to smoke weed and drink as an escape because I was so stressed out and anxious over it. I took my dad to the ER and was taking him to the neurologist and babysitting him, and I felt like, you know, I became his dad all of a sudden, very quickly, and he's only 67 years old. And I like helped him pee in the ER, which was very upsetting, realizing that my dad's penis is still bigger than mine. So that was probably the worst thing that happened. And then Wednesday, I was on my way to do comedy for the first time in a long time live. And probably 2 or 3 months, and I get a call from my stepmom, and my dad had passed out, fallen, got a black eye, and cut his head open on the kitchen counter. And that's all there was to be done. Really, I didn't think he had a concussion, and it turns out he didn't. Thank God. But he was in a neck brace, so we had an appointment for a neurologist anyway the next morning. So if he wasn't too bad, we were going to wait, so we did. I picked him up early, and he was not in great shape in the neck brace, and I took him to the neurologist, and he had to like carry him like a wounded comrade in a battle who'd gotten his knee shot out. You know, I had his arm over my shoulder and my arm over his shoulder, and I was kind of dragging him around, keeping him steady and trying to prevent him from falling off of a balcony and also and cross the parking lot, and it was just a nightmare. Got there. The neurologist was very nice, tried to get a history of what had happened, you know, the progression of things. And he said he'd been feeling dizzy for months. And, you know, but the hallucinations, he was telling me before we got, when we were waiting for the doctor, he was looking at his cell phone and he's like, he's looking at the texts and he said, do these letters look Arabic to you? It looks like it's in Arabic. The lines are all wiggly and they're shadows. Do you see that? And I'm like, no, you're out of your mind, man. And, it was very scary. And the doctor, basically, you know, he did a timeline, which he's trying to do detective work. Doctors, I guess, at some level are basically medical detectives, which is what I realized, which is kind of cool. And he's basically saying the only thing he can make is the stress from work. It's an overloaded system, but that seemed like there was some truth to it, but didn't strike me as completely the cause of everything. It couldn't be. The symptoms were so extreme. How could just stress all of a sudden cause all these symptoms, all these variety of symptoms. And then he basically just, he didn't really tell him to do anything except for be careful when you're dizzy, but we already told him that. Maybe he'd listen from a doctor and maybe think about retiring, taking some time off. But he wasn't very forceful with that, which may have been the right tack. I don't know, because he wasn't listening to me and my stepmom. So anyway, not having discovered very much, except for he doesn't have MS, we went back home and I was like, let's get a nice little sandwich. We stopped in Arthur Avenue, got a beautiful sandwich at Casa de la Mozzarella, which was amazing. And I brought back the sandwich because I wanted him to eat, and I was going to go get Napoleons as well. So I figured he could eat while I'm getting the Napoleons. Dropped it off to find my dad in his neck brace, out of it, cleaning my car with the door wide open on the street, on the sidewalk side. I'm like, Dad, come on. What the hell are you doing, man? Get back in the car. Eat your sandwich. You can't be doing this. It's dangerous. I could get mugged. And he's like, all right. So he goes back in, and I'm like, all right, I'll be right back. Eat your sandwich. Go to get the Napoleons. Come back 5 minutes later. My dad's on the other side, the roadside, with the door wide open, cleaning my car. And I guess it's my fault for keeping a dirty car. But anyway, we got him back in the car, took him home, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I was so anxious. As soon as I got home, I jerked off, and I started smoking weed that I had gotten as payment for the show the night before. And I just was freaking out. Went to sleep, and in the morning, I get a text saying, oh, I think your dad has been taking my Ambien instead of his antidepressants. He's been mixing them up. And so I'm like, has this been going on for weeks? Is this everything? Is this the cause of everything? And funny enough, I think it was. Maybe not everything, but most of it. I talked to him today. He seemed completely normal for the first time in 10 days. The Ambien were blue, and so were his antidepressants, and they kept them in the same fucking container. Not the same bottle, but like one of those day planner things. And maybe he took it once and then he was out of it the next night, the next morning, because he'd taken Ambien or during the day. So his brain was all fucked up. So he was, I don't know how many times he did it or if he did it many times. I have no idea, but he did seem like his normal self today since they realized that. And he stopped doing it consciously. So, wow, who knew, man? One misplaced pill, one poorly planned pill execution device could have caused his death. I mean, he could have kept taking it, could have kept falling by himself, gotten brain damage, gotten cerebral hemorrhaging, concussions, and eventually actually have died from taking Ambien accidentally. It could have happened. It was starting to happen. So that was my week. That was my Thanksgiving, and since Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And finally, I can breathe deep and relax and kind of get back to normal. I had an acting lesson with Vinnie Pastore, a.k.a. Big Pussy, a.k.a. Forget About It, Mr. Forget About It. And it was great. He said my monologue was good, which was awesome to hear. I mean, I've been working my ass off really hard trying to be more emotionally present, which I'm not doing a great job of this on this podcast. But then again, I'm kind of done feeling those emotions. But then again, that's the work, right? Feeling whatever most people don't want to feel and expressing that and, you know, communicating that. I don't know. Has anyone else had horrible problems with caring for a family member's health recently or not so recently? Feel free to talk about it. Send in your voicemails or whatever you want to fucking do. Leave me a know what you want to do. Email me a recording. Anyway, whatever. So yeah, life's getting back to normal. Next Friday, I get to go see Frankie, my girlfriend, down in Florida for a few days, get to surf down there and come back, look for my apartment in Manhattan that I no longer feel guilty about looking for because I don't have to visit my dad 5 times a week now. And, that's good news. And, yeah, all's well that ends well, I guess. So thank you so much for listening to Fake Podcast. Maybe I'll put a little bit of the first episode I recorded that I was all fucking bummed out about at the end of this. Maybe I'll put the full one. I don't know. You'll see, I guess, right now if you keep listening. So things are not going that good in terms of my dad. I mean, he's not on his deathbed or anything, but he had something crazy happen to him. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was a minor stroke or the beginnings of Alzheimer's or some kind of nervous function disorder. Who the fuck knows? But it's making me upset, and it's way sooner than I thought I was going to have to deal with my dad's health and old age. He's only 68, so it's been a bit of a shock, and I can't say I'm happy. I'm actually pretty fucking upset and pissed off, and it's insane how quickly the reversal of roles happens, you know, father and son. Now I feel like he's my son and I'm his father. All of a sudden, after 34 years of the opposite relationship. And I can't say that I feel like I'm doing a good job as best as I can to get his back and be there for him and do what I can, but it's like, it sucks, because my career's just starting to get off the ground, so it's like, I gotta put time and energy into that too, but, you know, family comes first to a certain extent. I went with him. I basically didn't work at all Tuesday, because I had to go to the ER, and wait with him, and then, you know, I was so upset by the time I got home, I couldn't work, and Wednesday I was having trouble focusing, and then Thursday was Thanksgiving, went to his house, and that was nice, but, you know, he was dizzy again that morning, and he's seeing double and all sorts of crazy shit. It's not okay. It's not okay. But what are you supposed to do? I mean, that's that. There's no avoiding it. I don't know, that's what the Buddha said, right? It's like sickness and old age and death. You know, there's no avoiding those three causes of suffering. And there's other causes of suffering that you can't really avoid unless you're an asexual sociopath with the psychopathic tendencies and a tantric taint that looks like a ugly Modigliani. But yeah, so I guess it's natural to have horrible shit happen to you periodically throughout your life, and then if you deal with it well, then you will make it to the next horrible event. No, but that sounds so depressing. I'm happy in general. My life is pretty great. I like my work. I love my girlfriend. I have both my parents still. I have great friends, you know. I'm learning how to surf, I'm loving that. I'm learning how to act, I'm loving that. Can do a little paid voice acting work, which is amazing. Putting together a voice acting reel. Knowledge Daddies is coming together finally. Almost got the first episode ready. I'd say it's like 2/3 edited. So that's all great. That's all wonderful. It's better to dwell on the good stuff than the bad, I guess. But I can't help but be anxious and pissed off at the fact that my dad is dealing with these horrible health problems. And not only is it bad that I feel bad for him, you know, it's I feel bad that, oh man, now maybe I'm going to be susceptible to these things. So my dad had some kind of weird thing where his, like, hand stopped working, and then recently his other hand's barely working. And I got a pinched nerve in my neck, and that's what happened to him. I mean, he said it's because his ex-girlfriend walked on his back and messed up his nerves, but I don't know, maybe it's a hereditary neck nerve issues. And I'm just going to get it, and then I'm going to lose my hand at age 65 or whatever. I don't know. Hopefully stem cell technology by then will be much better, and it will transfer me into a robot with a giant schlong and a brain that comes up with the brilliant jokes. So hopefully that'll happen. But anyway, I don't know. And I'll compose a poem in closing. This is going to be a short one, you know, but I guess, I would like to say, so I'm working on this acting technique. It's not really a technique, it's more kind of like Zen meditation for acting, and it's all about just like feeling your emotions and acting from those emotions and being just very aware of your emotions but not pushing them away and really confronting your inability to feel or talk from certain emotions, and getting the habit of checking in emotionally. And it's like, I guess I've been trying to do that for years and years and years, but only finally I've gotten good enough where I can actually maintain focus and awareness of what I'm feeling for an extended period of time and remember to check back when I get distracted. So that's good. I think that's gonna make my acting and comedy and my sexual performance and my tickling career much more powerful and undulating. And I just want to say, bitch, you're getting tickled whether you like it or not. I'm gonna be the world's first tickle dominatrix sex symbol. All I do is tickling. Yeah, but it's like, there's one exercise where you just say like, oh, how do I feel? And then you say, oh, I feel sad. I feel mournful. I feel ashamed that I'm sad. I feel guilty. I feel hopelessness. I feel happy, but I don't really, I'm just saying that because I know that there's some happiness beneath all that. And I feel like I feel ashamed of my sadness, and I feel scared that if I don't want to wallow in my sadness and create more sadness. I feel glad that I was able to say that, a little bit proud, and then I feel grateful that I got acting lessons coming up. And yeah, but here's a little poem to close things out, okay? This is by the late, great Jaramul Kantupiki, and this is translated from Banana Seal. Untie my gun. It's ripping into your pie. Your pie is made of bullets, but you can't see the crust. And the crust is like an ocean that wants to be a lake, singing infinitely into the mouth of a burrowing mouse. And your mother is a crouton, and you toast her in the oven because she's not a pie. And your dad is on the bridge, and he's waking from his slumber so that you can eat an oatmeal cookie like it was your life preserver in Vietnam on the coast of Sinag. Bing bong boom. isn't that a great poem? There's a lot of interesting imagery and metaphor. I don't know. Can you figure it out what it means? I can't. I gave up a long time ago. A long, long time ago. All right. Anyway, thank you for listening to Fake Podcast. And have a great one. Bye.